Information Management Services Division, item number 7.
From the Chief Information Officer, Information Management Services Division, Department of Administrative Services, submitting an informational report regarding the electronic medical record system for the Department of Human Services, Behavioral Health Division. This item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Good morning, Madam Chair, Supervisors. My name is Larry Pinella. I'm the Deputy Chief Information Officer with IMSD. Mr. Lindbergh gives his apologies. He had a conflict today at 10:30, and so I'm representing him. The item before you is an informational report on the electronic medical records project within BHD. The gentleman on my right is the interim administrator with BHD. The gentleman on my left is Mr. Sushil Pillai. He is with the Joxel Group. The Joxel Group was chosen by BHD and IMSD to project manage and implement the electronic medical records within the BHD division. With that, I would like to hand the mic over to Mr. Kubicek, who will be giving an update on the project and the implementation phase.
Madam Chair, Supervisors, just want to talk a little bit about, kind of give an overview of the electronic medical record implementation process. When you do an implementation of this size and scale, it's an exceedingly complex undertaking with multiple layers, multiple kind of pre-planning efforts that have to take place in terms of trying to predict all the different variables that may occur in an implementation of this size. So where we are at now is we have just gone live approximately 2 to 3 weeks ago with our acute inpatient service. Go live in EMR parlance means that that's the first day that you start. So we picked a day, and then the first person that was admitted that day was placed on the electronic medical record system. So as we're going through that process, each additional new admission to the behavioral health inpatient unit is now on the electronic medical record until such time that we can transfer them all over. So I just wanted to kind of give just a very brief thumbnail sketch in terms of where we are at today. I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Pillai, who can kind of talk about more specifics of the phases of the electronic medical record implementation.
Madam Chair, Supervisors, thanks, Jim. So I'm going to go back a little bit and kind of explain our strategy on this and what we have done so far, just so that you all get a perspective. When Jim talks about the complexity of an EMR implementation, you all understand what that really means. The strategy that we took, and this is going back to why, you know, EMR, EHR implementations, you know, do well or not, don't do well. The strategy we took is we broke this down into phases, as we have indicated in the past to you. So we have taken it in phases. But the most important thing is when we roll out a phase, as Mr. Kubicek indicated, we actually monitor how that phase goes. We learn from what that phase has evolved, and we apply those learnings into subsequent phases. So we went live with our PCS and observatory and our access clinics initially. Now, PCS and observatory, I mean, if you have come to BHD and you have taken a look at some of the PCS crisis areas, that implementation is we are one of five emergency room psychiatry units in the country. So it's a very complex, it's very different sort of an implementation. Personally, for me, I learned a lot through that process. But we learned the utilization and the adoption of that system in that environment. So as Jim indicated, Jim used the word that was just a beginning of a stage, very rightfully so. And that being, when we implement a solution, we want to see how the adoption of the system actually takes place. So how the clinicians are using it, how the administrative staff are using it, and across the board, how is the system being implemented so that we can learn something out of it. And we learned a lot. We actually pulled back some of the order entry electronic medication administering off, and we had to recast it because, as you probably are aware in healthcare, medication ordering is and monitoring of medications is one of the most critical elements, not just from a patient safety standpoint, but also from a holistic monitoring standpoint of patient care. So we had to take that back and recast it. And when I say recast it, we basically had to understand how this system is going to be utilized in the most effective and efficient manner. Now, when we went through the adoption phase early on, we went through the training. All the clinicians took a look at it, but actually until we went live and they started using it, and we have 15 patients sitting in the emergency room and I'm trying to provide medications to them, that's probably when the reality of the utilization of the system and the adoption of the system came into existence. So we had to, that's why I used the word, we had to recast it. But that recasting process helped us immensely because when we now look at our acute inpatient implementation, a lot of the recasting helped us significantly. And we continue to monitor the process. All the learnings we got from the initial implementation was applied into the acute implementation. The acute implementation got delayed by a few months, and there's a couple of reasons why we delayed the process. I'm of a huge opinion that, you know, rather than meeting a date, we got to meet a date when the business users and the clinical users are ready for the system. At BHD, we went through two major processes. One was a survey that was conducted in evaluation of the BHD operations. And we wanted to make sure we don't go with an electronic system and the surveyors come on board. Now everybody is trying to, while they're learning the system, trying to answer questions to the surveyors on the new system. So we kind of pared that back a little bit and made sure we went through the survey process. And the survey process is very effective. And the administration team at BHD was able to react to that most effectively. So that worked out pretty well. Right after that process, we went through a recertification process. And once again, we pulled back the implementation and we allowed the recertification process to continue in paper. The recertification process went on very well. In fact, BHD is now recertified. So that was a huge plus for us. But immediately after the recertification, we went live with the acute inpatient. Now, during the interim of when we finished training and when we actually went live, we had numerous sessions, training sessions, one-on-one sessions, process walkthroughs. One of the things Mr. Kubitschek wanted to make sure we did was we wanted no breakdown in the training to the actual implementation. People are saying, well, what am I supposed to do now? So we actually did a lot of process walkthroughs. I don't know if any of you have been to BHD lately, but if you have not, I would encourage you to do so. We have brought in what we call as WOWs. Most people know it as COWs. But WOWs or COWs really stand for Workstation on Wheels or Computers on Wheels. So we really have a Workstation on Wheels right now at BHD. So at an inpatient or an observatory environment, if I'm going to a patient's room, we have a wireless network, so we can actually wheel these WOWs into the patient room and actually do our clinical assessment and notes on medication administering, which is very important, now on these WOWs. So that process had to be monitored, made sure it went on very well. Now, as Mr. Kubitschek indicated, we went live with acute inpatient, and that is just the beginning of a process where we have to monitor to make sure every single aspect of that implementation goes well, right from the adoption within the users to the adoption within each of the individual processes, right from social workers to rehab services to psychologists, psychiatry, and nursing staff. So we've got to make sure all of those processes are completely combined into what we are trying to do. A lot of these learnings will now be applied to the community-based services group, which is where we are starting now. We actually did a kickoff for the community-based services about 4 weeks ago. So that process has already begun in parallel just before we went live with the acute process. In community-based services, we have a very interesting opportunity right now because this is going to be the future of BHD. We have the opportunity to step back a little bit and say, what should be our strategy, not addressing just the current needs, but the future needs of where we need to go with this. So we have a very unique opportunity of actually analyzing that, more so than actually just implementing a system out there on the current state today and then kind of recasting it, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 months down the line. So that's the process we are in now. I've always told the community-based services group that they're going last, but they're going to take advantage of all the learnings and all the scapegoats that we had prior to that to make sure that when we go live with them, we will have a great system for them. We'll have a great process enabled and with some level of future thinking put into the system so that they have the ability to expand as they grow their business.
Supervisor Stemper.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Going live, I hear some departments are going live, some aren't. So does that mean it's up and running? Is that part of phase three that's actually done and going live?
Going live in our terminology means they now use the new system. Our new system is called Avatar. Mm-hmm. Now, the old system is called CMHC, and CMHC was used in some fashion, not completely, not all of the medical record capability, but in some fashion within our PCS, ABS, and our community-based services. So going live, and it's a great question, and the reason is when we go live, we got to manage. When we go live with certain units and not with the others, we got to manage that this consistency in client information across all systems. So we have enabled all of those processes. Mm-hmm. So if a patient comes from our Avatar system into the new system, they already know about it. Okay. They know that they exist. And for the electronic system, if they want to access some of these older data in the old system, we bridge that gap through paper okay. for now.
And at the end of phase three, will everybody be going live?
Madam Chair,
supervisor. All the sections of BHD?
Stamper, yes. Once we complete with phase three, everyone will be electronic, and everyone will be looking at the same information, and everyone will be live.
Okay. And I know with the new technology, there's always an expiration date. So this new EMR, is there a – how long is this one going to last?
Madam Chair, Supervisor Stamper, the software we selected – mm-hmm. It's a company called NetSmart. They're headquartered in Kansas City, St. Louis in Kansas City. They are one of the market leaders in the mental health substance abuse area. Part of the reason why BHD selected them was their strength has been in the community-based services. So if you look at other software solutions out there, this is probably the only solution that is this advanced in how they manage the MCO and the authorization part, the care management part, as well as the clinical part and the financial part of our business. So I can't predict the future, obviously, but they are going to be there
for a long time.
For a long time, yeah.
Okay. The Jostle Group, you were you familiar with NetSmart before they were chosen, or how did that work?
Madam Chair, Supervisor Stamper, mm-hmm. The answer is yes. We have actually implemented solutions in multiple settings. So we have had Epic implementations and other EMR software implementations. Our expertise with NetSmart was in only one area, but that was in the public health area. And we did that for the state of North Carolina.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments or questions from committee? Seeing none, we are – thank you very – yes.
I'm sorry, I'd like to do an audible.
You what?
Could I do an audible? There's some off-script additions that I'd like to just provide for the committee.
Okay.
I think it's fairly exciting stuff.
I don't think Madam Chair knows what an audible is.
I promise. No, I don't promise, but we had a meeting yesterday with the Southeastern Region Medicaid Director and the director of a new state program called the Super Utilizers for the state of Wisconsin. This is it's a new initiative that the state is undertaking focused on high utilizers in the Medicaid population. They're going to focus their attention on Milwaukee specifically, and the reason that they're going to focus their attention on Milwaukee specifically is because we have done a lot of work in this area already. There's a court ED coordination project that is already well underway with the private health systems. There's work with the Community Justice Council that we have accomplished that we've already done looking at the top 100, actually it's top 185 utilizers of the behavioral health services in the criminal justice system. The reason that this applies is because we're going to be hopefully using an avatar product that will help coordinate the care and break down these different silos in all these different organizations. Typically there's silos between the district attorney's office, the public defenders, the county jail, the sheriff's department, behavioral health division, various hospital systems. They're going to provide a state-of-the-art software that is going to enable us to break down those barriers. We're just starting it. They're coming for a demo within the next week or two. I'm really excited about this, and I think it's going to move our behavioral health system forward significantly in terms of integrating the different silos and integrating the care of the folks that we work with. So I just wanted to mention that as a teaser, I guess.
All right. Any other comments or questions? Thank you very much.